Welcome to ID the Future. This is Sarah Chaffee at the Center for Science and Culture. What do a knee-jerk reaction, eels, and a knife fish have in common? Electrical impulses. In his book, Billions of Missing Links, Discovery Institute fellow Dr. Jeffrey Simmons explores electricity and bioluminescence in living things. Every living thing is electrically charged. Trillions of electrical impulses travel along our nerve cells on a microsecond by microsecond basis, telling our brain what it needs to know about our environment, and then relaying the appropriate responses to the entire body. Electrical impulses help to regulate every organ system, impact every emotional state, and tell us when to sleep and when to wake. Every cell and every protein, perhaps every compound inside our body, makes use of electrical charges. Our health depends on it. Cells are like tiny batteries, and there are 10 to 75 trillion of them per person. In addition, each cell has dozens of generators called mitochondria. In some ways, we are like skyscrapers with generators, batteries, and rechargers in every room. A unique tissue in the heart is called the sinoatrial node, and this is a rate coordinator. Located in the right upper chamber, it sends electrical impulses to the interior muscles first, and then to the exterior muscles, telling them to contract, normally 60 to 100 times each minute. Exercise, low oxygen levels, and stress will cause the SA node to speed up. Rest, which requires less oxygen, will cause the beating to slow down. A knee jerk is another classical electrical impulse. A thump on a certain spot below the kneecap will send an impulse to the spinal cord and back, bypassing conscious control and causing the knee to kick out. Its symmetric presence is considered to indicate good health. An absence could mean nerve damage. It may also mean that the doctor didn't hit the right spot. No one knows how electricity was originally incorporated into living beings, but some think that life itself began with a lightning strike. There is some evidence that indirectly supports that notion. Whenever a person's heart stops, paramedics will shock the victim back to life. We declare someone dead when the electrical activity in their brain has ceased. The question arises, did the original lightning strike act like a pull cord on a lawnmower? Once the engine started, did it keep going? Or did life require repeated lightning strikes, refueling, and maintenance? Incorporating electricity via the theory of evolution was not an easy step, perhaps an impossible step. Underwater. About 500 aquatic species use electrical fields for mutual identification, scanning the environment, protection, hunting, killing, mating, and communications. Water is a better conductor than air, and electricity compensates for poorer visibility, but the range is usually limited to a few meters. The most famous example has to be the electric eel. This denizen of the muddy Amazon and Orinoco rivers is not an eel at all, but more related to carp. It looks like an eel, however, and can grow to 8 feet in length. Along its sides are three separate electric organs that can deliver a total shock of 350 to 650 volts in 1/500th of a second from its tail. This is enough voltage to stun a human being and to kill any prey. Nerve cells stimulate electrical cells, called electroplaques, which are piled on top of each other like a stack of coins. Although each one only has a 0.1 volt charge, together they can fire off an enormous charge. They have been known to fry equipment in their tanks. There is no clear explanation in the theory of evolution. The knife fish, which will often become an electric eel's dinner, also communicates by electrical impulses, and it has learned with time to vary the frequencies to keep eels from eavesdropping. Their electrical signals are primarily used to navigate and communicate. While mating, the male and female will sing an electrical duet. The curlew-jawed mormyrid fish from South America uses an electrical field to locate its prey. The leathery bill of a platypus creates an electrical field to locate shrimp and other food. The African electric fish emits a constant stream of electrical pulses between 300 and 400 per second. Its head is positively charged, and its tail is negative. The electric ray, once strapped to patients by ancient Romans to cure headaches, can blast a 200-volt charge from pectoral fins. It's about the only thing I haven't tried in my office for migraines. The stargazer fish buries all but its face in the sand and zaps passing prey from an electric organ between its eyes. Because of the difference in electrical conductivity, the physiologies of these species vary quite significantly between fresh and salt water. Sharks, rays, and certain salamanders like axolotl do not have the ability to generate shocks, but they have a myriad of electroreceptor cells to detect changes around them. For example, sharks have tiny organs called ampullae of Lorenzini under their skin and in their snout that can detect electric fields as small as 0.005 millivolts. Rattlesnakes can pick up electrostatic charges with their tongue. A captured platypus will attack a live 1.5-volt battery in a pool but ignore a dead battery. There are major missing links throughout. Bioluminescence is the ability to generate light, and it has evolved in 30 highly variable and unrelated species from mushrooms to fish, insects to jellyfish, and eyeless starfish to microorganisms. Some species make use of captured and groomed bacteria. Others create their own light-emitting chemicals. Somehow, independent of each other, most use an enzyme called luciferase, acting on luciferin and oxygen. Bioluminescent species can be found almost anywhere in the world, but it is particularly common in the oceans, at depths below 500 feet where the sunlight cannot penetrate. These lights are used for communication, mutual identification, attracting prey, finding prey, confusing or scaring predators, and mating. The most often cited example is the firefly, which is actually a beetle, not a fly, and can be found in the eastern parts of North America. Flying males flash a light from the tip of their tail to catch the attention of females on the ground. A response in kind begins their relationship. Certain predators, however, have learned to mimic these lights and will attract an excited male. Firefly lights come in yellows, blues, and greens, and there are distinct signals for different species. A midshipman fish communicates with bioluminescence generated by bacteria living in discs along its flanks that look like buttons on a midshipman's coat. It sings by vibrating muscles in its bladder that reportedly sound like the chant of Tibetan monks, and it can change frequencies for its own protection. When mating, as many as 30 male midshipman fish will sing in unison, sounding a bit like a motorboat, while the females watch from afar. Somehow, these females are able to select their mate from their singing. The bobtail squid is another perplexing evolution. Within hours of hatching, it begins sucking water through certain pores and selecting out a certain luminous Vibrio bacteria. It eliminates all other bacteria and, in fact, eliminates any defective Vibrio. Within 15 hours, millions of bacteria click on like a light bulb. The amount of light and the size of the population is controlled by cells within these specialized organs. Somehow, despite the millions of bacteria types in the ocean, this squid can find, harvest, and groom the right bacteria. The question arises as to whether electrical shocks and bioluminescence could have come about in small increments. This is much different than changing the bulb in a lamp. The chemistry and physiology that goes into accomplishing these feats and the number of brain cells needed to process it is enormous. It is also ineffective to have a barely visible light or an ineffective shock. This is an all or none phenomenon. The use of the enzyme luciferase interacting with luciferin and oxygen to produce light in multiple species is an example of convergent evolution. The same traits develop independently in species on very different branches of the purported tree of life. Convergent evolution poses a problem for neo-Darwinism. How does the unguided process of evolution hit upon the same rare characteristics multiple times? For more about creatures whose unique features have no evolutionary explanations, read Dr. Jeffrey Simmons' book, Billions of Missing Links. I'm Sarah Chaffee with the Center for Science and Culture. Thank you for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2015. For more information, visit www.intelligentdesign.org or www.idthefuture.com.